I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up? I'm Kevin from the Heroes Dev Team, and I'm here to announce your core. Let's get started. Welcome to Heroes of the Storm. Get ready for battle, and don't forget your talent. This is Core. Good work. Enemy slain. Ooh, baby, it's a triple. Ooh. That guy didn't read the patch notes. Rampage. Nice. Woo. Mega kill. Hero of the Storm. Feels good to be gold.
That's really good. You undersold that again, Bo. That was great. That was super good, man. Undersold by Bo Schwartz.
My favorite, though, was the first core where it did sound like somebody else showed up to play.
Yeah.
I'm here to announce your core.
Your game.
And yeah, that was part of the aesthetic. Also, he didn't say core in a way that sounded natural.
Yeah, it's either that or is, right? You were saying the other week that you have trouble with people who don't enunciate the word is, so you can get a this yeah, is core out of somebody.
I spent an hour before the show today looking for a good is.
Yeah. Well,
and I'd already found a good this, and then when I found the good is, the this didn't work with the is. So it was like, this is
Core.
And then it was like, oh, this is awful.
Are there any Blizzard characters with is as a part of how their name sounds? Like, and if they got added, it would just permanently solve your problem?
You got Nazebo. That won't work. Let's see. Is it?
Oh, again, it has to be the same voice. You can't do Li Ming with Zeebo's is.
No.
This is. It doesn't work. Got to find a new is every time.
Okay, that's your new challenge. I know this represents a ton of time, and I don't want to shackle you or yoke you with a burden or anything. But what you ought to do is one big master intro that is as many characters as you can mash together, creating full sentences would be a really cool thing. Like all of them saying, "Hey, what are we doing here?" Just like all the way to the
end. Like a weird AI response machine of some kind.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like Bumblebee.
Yeah, like Bumblebee, like the car Bumblebee.
Well, like from the Michael Bay edition.
Yeah,
Bumblebee.
Sure. Yeah. In the show,
I never understood that. I think I have some sort of like hearing disability. I never understood a word he said.
Well, you mean in the show or in the movie?
In the movie, when they did the mashup,
I don't think
you
were
supposed to. When they put everything together, I couldn't follow it. Because the problem is I recognize some of the clips, so I expected whatever was next in that clip, and I stopped paying attention to what they were trying to piece together.
Yeah, I think I did too. I never really got much out of him there. But I am weirdly, okay, this is a total side note, non-heroes related. I find myself strangely drawn to this new Bumblebee spinoff movie.
It looks good.
Yeah. Kinda
and
does.
I've been hurt before, but it does look good, right?
Yeah, there's something about it. The fact that he's consistent with the Michael Bayness, not directed by Michael Bay, in this case might be a plus. And he's a Volkswagen bug again. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. You don't have to show off your hot new freaking Chevy Camaro anymore. You can just be a normal car again. I don't know. There's potential there, and it's got that, what's her name, Haley Steinfeld or whatever her name is that was in True Grit. She's a good little actress there. So,
oh, is that who that is?
Yeah, that's who that is. She's a little more, let's see, how do I put this? She's kind of gone the whole Instagram girl kind of thing these days. So she's very different than the sort of down-home country cowgirl thing that she was doing in True Grit. But I think she's really good. She was very effective in that movie, and she could really pull it off. So maybe here it works. I don't know. I say this all very tentatively because freaking we have been burned before by the Transformers property. So maybe it's good, maybe it sucks. And also, what's his name's in it? The wrestler.
John Cena.
John Cena is in it.
Yeah.
John Cena, that guy, he's in it. Whatever that means. Whatever that turns out to be. So we'll see. Importantly, though, we got to swing it back around to Heroes of the Storm. The game I have played, there have been really only two video games I've played since I got back from BlizzCon. Heroes of the Storm and Diablo 3 for some reason. So I've kind of been bouncing back and forth, and since Orphea hit this week, I've been playing her a lot. And I have what I think to be some very non-incidental news about Orphea and her effect in the game, but I'm just going to share this anyway. In the quick matches that I've played with Orphea since she came out yesterday on Tuesday on the public servers, if you do her Q build and you play it well, you can turn anybody salty on the other team. And I mean anybody. So the beefiest tanks who don't really know what to do with her yet or don't have the teammates doing the team play needed to get her out of your face, her Q, scooch up, Q, scooch up, Q, scooch up, hit him with higher DPS, auto attack, all that stuff will drive a man mad. And you could see it in the faces of the likes of Mal'Ganis and... Even a Muradin character or player that I played today just seemed just completely annoyed. Now I can't talk to that guy. He's on the other team. I have no way to communicate with him, but I could just get this feeling that after a while he was going to just avoid me. And he did. He quit trying to, do anything with me. Cause what would happen is he'd come after me thinking he was going to live forever. And I would piecemeal him down until he was almost nothing. Maybe somebody would come in and help him, and then I'd start dashing the other way, but then I'd come back in, get another Q slap on him, do it a couple of more times, be obnoxious, then scooch out again, out of range. His dwarf toss is on cooldown all the time because that's how he was trying to keep up with me, and I would kill him. Like 3-4 times I killed this poor Muradin, and he was fine Muradin. It was no problem, but he probably wasn't used to whatever she brings to the mix, and it felt really great. So I just want to say I believe this to be law, that if you really want to turn the other team salty, especially tanks, play Orphea, go Q build, and make their lives miserable. Have you guys found that to be true at all in your plan?
I would agree with that. I tried to get experimental with her build. I tried to kind of mess around with what I was doing, because at BlizzCon, I kind of only played a couple different ways. The first game, I just didn't know what I was doing. I was just throwing stuff at the wall and none of it was good. And then I kind of found what I liked, and it was sort of that Q build, a little mix of some W in there, but mostly Q. And I really liked it. And I thought, well, let me experiment a bit and try some new things. I tried new things. I didn't like it. So it's been mostly Q and W for me that I've been focusing on for her. And it's been real good.
Do you find the toilet is, just not really that much of a factor in most fights? It's not for me anyway. I feel like I shoot it out. It's too easy.
For our listeners, the toilet is E.
E. Sorry.
the little toilet.
The little tiny toilet. And that's part of the problem, actually. It's got a really slow wind up, a very obvious tell, and it's a small toilet. So when you do it, it's like, wind up. Oh, I see you're doing it. You see the line. Well, I know where it's going to end, so just get out of the way. Like, no one's ever in it, I feel like, unless they're minions or something. So I feel like I'm just not, either I'm not using it at the right time, maybe it's only good in the chaos of a team fight, maybe I'm just not using it enough in conjunction with somebody else's stuns or something, but it's not going well for me. Bo, what do you think of the toilet build, and then do you agree with us on the Q build?
Is there a toilet build? I don't know. I feel like it's still early days for her. I feel like a lot of folks, I think it's just a phenomenon with heroes. A new hero comes out, everyone gets excited. They get a build they like, or they've calculated out, and that's what they're trumpeting. I think no matter what the build is, she does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
She, I think, is most analogous to Jaina. You know, Jaina is like, you know, does different things, but all of her buttons kind of just do damage.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Orphee is like. All the buttons do damage. I think the dread or toilet is, it's very telegraphed. Now, it does damage on the way. So if you want to at least get a bit of damage, you can toss that out for poke. Kind of adds some damage to clear, which is nice. But the dread one is, because it's telegraphed, really seems most useful when you're going to wombo, like Ring of Frost style with her.
Yeah. Or if you're trying to, like you said, poke Cursed Hollow, for example, it's pretty good at stopping captures and stuff, or is interrupting that stuff, because everything else she does doesn't have that greater range on it. The Q is good, but the range isn't like exceptional by any means. And her auto attack is no better than, I don't know, it's like Li Ming's auto attack. It's just not that big a deal in terms of range. So her biggest range is the toilet, and I feel like that's a good way to stop people from channeling. But other than that, I just don't find it to be.
Now, there is a slow at the end, right? It's a 25-second slow. So you might toss it out to try and get lucky if you're chasing down. And I've used it in a few spots to actually peel for teammates. Like if the teammate's trying to get out, you can toss it. It's like a zone control, kind of like Blizzard. Like you can, it's like the enemy you're trying, the teammate you're trying to protect, and there's a little space where you anticipate where the enemy team's going because they want to chase them. So they're usually trying to take the shortest path. So you can find that spot just ahead of them, lead it, and get the slow off. So it's got its uses, but yeah, it's not the big sexy of the whole thing.
No.
Which to me is the cue.
When you said 25-second slowdown, you meant 0.25 seconds.
25%, sorry.
Oh, gotcha, okay. Just making sure I was hearing that right.
Slow for 2 seconds.
Yeah. I was going to say, otherwise, that is the best slow in the history of the game. 25 seconds is pretty good.
No. It's 25% for 2 seconds.
Nice.
For builds, for me, it's really been, I've been playing with the Q. I've just been pumping everything into Q, but there are some interesting talents at different tiers that I'm looking to play with. I'm not at all settled on things except for Crushing Jaws. Is what's it called?
That's the one. That's the tier with
Eternal
no
Feast. No, it's Crushing Jaws.
It's the right. It's the quest one, right? With W.
No. Crushing Jaws is the ultimate that.
Oh.
Closes it's them up.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about a talent, because there's a whole tier of talents that doesn't have any Q in it. So you kind of have,
seven and else. Yeah, seven.
Yeah,
just seven.
Just seven. Seven. Yeah.
And then that one, I've been going with the self-heal on the chomp, just because when you get into lane, you can heal off of minions, which I kind of like, but I'm not settled on anything. I think the thing that I'm most interested when it comes to Orphea was the Q hit and dash ability, which I was pretty stoked about, and I still am, but it is a bit awkward because that, like, it would be a great move to use as a juke. I mean, John, you play a lot of Tracer, so you, and actually Scott, you do too. So you know when the skill shot's coming at you,
yeah,
you press your Q and just blink out of the way. So you kind of is desirable to do something similar, but generally speaking, the animation on Q, assuming you even hit, takes a little bit of time. Yeah. So by the time you get the hits, you don't always, you know, if Arthas Howling Blast is coming out, you might get the hit, but you might not move out of the way in time. So I kind of wish that animation was a little sped up.
Yeah, it has. But, you can actually cancel it. I think we talked about this previous show, but you can cancel it pretty easily without meaning to. I mean, so if you think just
the move,
yeah. If you hit Q for the original hit, and then keep moving immediately after you hit Q, you see the projected, you know, you see the direction indicator, and then you hit Q. Or you click to activate, you can stop that and get out of the way by accident. And maybe you want that on purpose in some cases, but to me it feels like that wind up is a little long. Unlike Jaina, whereas if I do a Frostbolt with Q, it's immediate. It's like lays it down. And even if I'm not on quick cast, just like go. So there's no way to sort of miscast it. This thing you can if you're not thinking about it. And once you pay attention, it's not that big a deal. You kind of just have to train your brain to make sure it gets off before you move. Otherwise, you meant to hit and forgot, or it looks like you forgot and you didn't get the... Now they're out of range, so you can't get the hit, which means the lower cooldown, which means you don't get the scoot. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's some weird thing with it. I take a damage reduction on the Q just so that with an increase to its hitbox. Yeah. I find there was a couple of times where I felt like I connected with the Q, but I didn't. And it might be have to do with the verticality of the animation.
Mm. Yeah.
But sometimes I kind of was like, oh, I should have gotten that. Like, I'd take the movement over the damage because I've got other stuff to do damage with. So I don't need as much on the Q, I guess. But yeah.
They also did a thing, and I'm not sure exactly what it was, and I would have a hard time explaining it. So maybe you guys heard. But they changed the way the dash relates towards, like, how you initiate the dash. Mm. I think it now is a little easier to avoid accidentally dashing in the wrong direction. I know it feels different. And the problem is I played her just enough at BlizzCon to get used to how it felt. And now with her release, I was like, oh, this feels different. I think it's better because I am noticing I'm not accidentally dashing as much. But there are definitely times where I intended to dash after somebody and it isn't happening. I think it's because I accidentally clicked the person I'm chasing.
Oh.
And that won't trigger a dash anymore.
Yeah.
She'll just keep chasing them. You have to actually click ground or do an A move command. And that has thrown me a little bit on her.
You think it might have just be ping related? Like, we're, I don't know. I meant to check. But like, if it definitely feels like my game's laggier back home after playing on machines at BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Being in a LAN environment like that was kind of awesome. It made me wish we were all in one all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like the lag in these games, this, you know, whatever. We have come a long way, folks. Like, it's very small. But when you've played in a LAN environment like that, which is pretty much a non-existent condition for anybody outside of pro play, and even then, do they simulate it? Like, I don't know what they do there in those pro games, if that's pure LAN, like as low latency as possible, or do they introduce any so it feels right?
I think it's only LAN when they're in person at tournaments. I think otherwise they're playing on live servers from wherever they live in the world.
Do you worry, though, or the reason I ask that is, do you think that can mess with them? You know what I mean? Like, their timing could be off.
Yeah, throughout many games, you hear people talk about, you know, newcomers to pro play struggling with LAN. And I think part of it is when you're playing, it's a per second, per frame game. When you play the game a lot and you play at a very high, let's say, APM or high dexterity, these little changes can break up your flow. Like, you know, it can improve it, but it can also make you maybe overshoot or get your timing off when you're used to a certain amount. Like, if you have a little bit of, like, a very microscopic amount of lag, but you get really good with it, that becomes part of your muscle memory. And then when you go to an environment that doesn't have that 0.1 second or, you know, 0.001 difference, it can affect you. I have no doubt.
Right. Well, I like her. I like her a lot. And I'm sure we will each get to mess around with her tonight. That is to play the character. Sorry, that's all.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention that we've been experimenting with, which we may look at, is you know, good old TBK Zord.
Yeah.
From that other show.
Yeah, that whatever it's called, that little dog and pony thing they got going. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This Heroes Hearth of the Storm. Lords of the Heroes Hearth of the Storm.
There
we like them, so we're not trying to throw shade.
Just a little.
Maybe
shade.
We are.
Just a little shade.
We're planning a thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
We were trying to do what we call the bathtub, which is the other ultimate. So the Eternal Feast, which is kind of like, you know, it's not really a much loved ultimate because most people just walk out of it. If you get Leoric's Entomb and you put the big toilet under it, and you get a bathtub.
And so
we've been doing the bathtub maneuver. and that's basically, we haven't had much success with it because we keep playing with teams that are able to get out of it, but sooner or later
we won that game. It didn't
we
not
did
like
win
that one move. It was not like that one move totally wrecked it, but there were a couple of times where people were in it for a lot longer than you would have expected.
Yeah
We got 5 or 6 procs of Eternal Feast off, and that's all we really ask for. It's as many bathtub dives as possible.
Well,
another fun interaction that I noticed, speaking of that and that game specifically, is because you only take damage when it actually comes down and hits, you can actually sleep someone on top of it as like Mal'Ganis or Ana, and they will sit in the pool unable to leave until it does its damage. So they can take a bunch of damage, head on out, and if you sleep them, they will sit there until they take yet another hit. So it's another guaranteed way to get a hit, because it's not like it's down there, you know, bubbling and hurting them the entire time.
I still think Stukov's arm's probably a better tub in there. Just given the...
Oh, you can put a silence under it, because the big deal with it was they get out, but at level 20, Leoric gets the silence. So if you get a Stukov support,
you
get a quiet bathtub.
Jaina,
Orphea, Stukov, and Leoric and make a quiet bathtub with nothing but all the burst in the bathtub.
That sounds 50 great.
50 cents extra, you can make it a deluxe bath with Stukov.
He
will come in and wash all your parts with you.
That's right. I'm into it. Everything the way you just said it is how I want it. We'll try that tonight.
When you do the bathtub combo, Kevin Johnson comes out and says, rub-a-dub-dub.
Bitches.
I like that you had to add an edge to it. You're like, Kevin's being too nice.
Which is so totally not Kevin.
Does it become a hot tub? That's if you got a KT.
There's
a phoenix on top.
Gosh, dude.
Yeah, there's hot tub with KT, a cold shower with
Jaina.
Yeah, who's going to clean that mess up? I don't know who.
Janitor Leoric. You're going to get the skin next week.
Petulant child, he'll say.
It's all calculated, really, by the dev team.
Of course. Well, she's pretty great. I like her. And we'll see more of her a little bit later in today's show. Also, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there have been some special drops to go along with Orphea's release. Twitch drops, to be specific. Was just looking at these on screen. Chat room, you can take a look at these as well. A bunch of stuff. Beginning November 13th, tuning into Heroes of the Storm on Twitch with a linked Battle.net account. Most of you have probably already done that for the other giveaways they've done, but if you haven't, you should. There's no harm in doing it. Could earn you some truly heroic rewards. For more info, including specific rewards, where to watch and so on, you kind of read on down here below. Here's the thing that kind of threw me just a little bit. You start on... So here's what you have to do. You link your Battle.net account and your Twitch accounts. Choose a Hero of the Storm stream and watch it. So that could be this one that we're doing right now. Okay.
Well, not literally this one.
Well, no,
this is technically a podcast, but when we start playing.
When we start playing in the game and the game category changes to Heroes of the Storm, yes, that would count toward it. And any stream where they're playing the game, that counts toward it. Here's the only stinker, not real stinker, but you need to watch at least 4 hours during each week of the promotion period to earn the exclusive rewards. So 4 hours minimum. That seems high. For some reason, I don't know why. Maybe it's not. Maybe everybody's just chewing through hours on
Twitch streams. I mean, when you think about it, it's a week. You got 7 days. Average Heroes of the Storm game is about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So you watched, three games. You've got an hour right there. I don't think it's that bad.
It's not that bad, but isn't it 4 hours per reward?
Yeah.
So per week, right?
Yeah, 4 hours in a week.
So
you can do other things.
You just have to have it on. You don't have to be, it's not like you have to be laser focused in and not moving or doing anything else.
No, that's true. This is all true. It just seems steep. I don't know why it feels steep. It just does.
Yeah, and also lower the bandwidth too. So put it right down to 160, mute it, and use your mouse so the computer still thinks you're there.
Oh yeah, will it know if you're like your screen goes blank or something? Will it know you're not watching?
I assume Twitch probably has stuff. I wasn't suggesting
cheat it. You can watch people actually stream Heroes, but
I'm suggesting cheat it, because if you don't have time, you can still get the cool things. It's not like they're not giving you like $1 million. It's like they're giving you some neat little doodads in your game. It's fine.
And we've gotten that kind of stuff before. Specifically loot chests and stuff just by logging in. So this seems like a little steeper, but I kind of like it. So here's what you get the first week. You get the Chomp Emoji Pack, which is specifically for the game or Twitch. I assume the game, because they're animated.
Yeah, it's for the game.
All right, good. Because I don't think, as far as I know, you can't even do animated ones.
It's got an Orphea one where I'm not exactly sure what she's doing in it.
She's... Oh, we got to zoom in here. Let's see.
She's patting Chomp, and Chomp is expressing love.
Is that what's happening?
That's an interpretation of what I'm seeing, I guess.
It looks like she's. I mean, I don't want to work blue here, but I feel like she's working his gherkin a little there.
That's a little more along the lines of how I interpreted it, but. Yeah.
He's not facing the right way.
No, well, you don't know where Chomp's wiener is.
You don't know where Chomp's gherkin is?
No, it's in the back. It's in the back. I love that. Also, what's he chewing in the second to last one?
It's a minion.
Oh, yeah, it is a minion. Okay. I see his little head.
All right, so we got a hand coming out of the grave or the coffin. You got her working the gherkin. You got him trying to eat a bubble that just won't stay in his mouth. Then you got him eating.
Oh, that's Pac-Man.
Like Pac-Man. Okay. Yeah. And then the last one is.
Oh, Popeye. Like Popeye.
And then the last one is him going through a kind of PTSD for all the horrible things she makes him do, is what I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah. He looks terrified there. Anyway, those are cool, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'll take them. I can't tell you the last time I used an emote in the game. It's been a very long time.
Well, you see how much I use them to do inappropriate things.
You do, but...
You can take the hand and then the circle and then put the hand into the circle. Right. And then you put an LOL next to it, or you put like a happy face.
No, you do. I noticed that. You're pretty good at remembering you even have them. I just don't even think about it because usually all the emoting I'm doing is on audio with you guys over comms, so it's like not even a thing I care about in the game.
Yeah, I guess it's when you go away and we get bored.
I guess.
Like, I'll be right back. My lights have gone out again. And so we start just making
Then the emojis get vulgar. And my favorite is Bo just then spams the laughing raven.
Yeah.
Just over and over again.
Yeah.
Anytime he does an inappropriate emoji, then it's just la, 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 la.
Perfect. By the way, the first thing I did when I got into the collection yesterday was buy that black raven mount. It's so cool, dude. I didn't do the bundle, but I did that. I went and got just the mount. So. All I need. The other two are fine. They can drop over time. I'm fine. Don't need to spend a bunch of money on them. They're cool alternates, but the Black Raven running around with almost like human arms and hands. Weird freaking bird, dude. Ugh, I love it. This is one of my favorite mounts in the game. Very cool. Week two. That's 11/20 through 11/26. Your reward, a baby Chomp portrait.
Yep.
So it's a little splood there with his in somebody's hand there. See?
Now there he definitely looks like Splood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's a brother of Splood.
Yep. He's all gooey.
Is Chomp a girl or a guy?
I assume it's a dude. Actually, I don't know if we should assign gender to it. Maybe it's it's like a slug. It doesn't
matter. Yeah, well, that's
I don't
right.
know. We were just talking about its gherkin. What has a gherkin?
I mean, as we humans understand it. Generally, the male does, but I think that we're in an otherworldly place now, and this thing could have both gherkin and bun.
Yeah, that's true.
Or whatever.
Week three, I feel like you get another look at the gherkin.
Yeah, so. You kind of do, which is, by the way, a Chomp bubble spray. Now, I don't really know what's going on here.
Chomp is looking up at the world, and his shadow has wavy lines for some reason.
Stink lines. Is that what those are?
Yeah, or I don't know.
I love a good
maybe he's nervous. Maybe it's that, like, you know, in anime, they get nervous and they get the little wavy lines. Maybe mm-hmm. it's that. Maybe it's anime. Maybe anime is happening right here.
Well, some people, you know, Terpster, Mark the Terpster Turpin, my co-host on The Instance, he is very, very adamantly opposed to Orphea and everything she is. And we had a long discussion on The Instance about it. He really does feel like she's like a anime pedophile girl. And I don't see it personally. Like, I look at her and just go, no, she's kind of like fully clothed and sort of weird looking and kind of a little sister's kind of way from BioShock. You know, she's.
Well, he told us that at the con too. And I was like, dude.
I don't know why he sees like, that.
It's the learning moment. You know, I've seen that on the internet too. This is, they say lolly bait is a word that I didn't know existed before.
Never heard of that. What is lolly bait?
Which is just the word bait. It's like saying jail bait of someone, you know, of a woman.
Lolly bait.
But the lolly comes from Lolita, you know, the famed novel, you know. And so, and I'm like, okay, so it's just like, That's the same as saying, well, I assaulted her because she was she was wearing attractive clothing. You know, it's just like we put a young girl in it and we made her seem cool. And it's like, it's for pedophiles. It's like, like, come on. Like, pedophiles are pedophiles. It's like, this is normal. So don't say shit like that. You sound bad.
I think the minute she had big anime eyes was when people decided to go that way, which is a whole other kind of people classifying something because one day their internet slammed into a pile of hentai porn or however you say that word. And they were like, tentacles and naked people. She has big eyes like they did. Therefore, pedophile character. Like, I think they're just jumping to conclusions. And I disagree with Terpster on this. I think he's smoking the crack. He even told me, he says, well, maybe it's because I have daughters and I'm overprotective. And I said, well, I have them too. And I'm not really feeling this with her. She's just, you know, like, I think Li Ming could use some extra articles of clothing. But I don't really get this.
Like, we should ask Terpster, like, where do you stand on Li Ming? It's like, you know, he's always fawning over Jaina. And I'm like, on the show, it's like, come on.
Well, maybe that's the difference is like when I see a character, I'm like, I can't wait to get in there and kill somebody with this. I don't look at the character and go, I can't wait to virtually bone this character. Like, that's not what my thought is. Like, it doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter if it's Artanis or Kerrigan or a cheerleader Kerrigan. Like, it's just, it just doesn't matter. That's not my thought. It's just, I'm going to straight up murder somebody with this character.
Yeah.
That's
but the I think goal. The argument is that is not whether or not it is, or will you do it, is that the developer did that with the intent, you know, cause we've all seen that game on Facebook, hot new RPG. And it's literally, you know, it's like micro. There's just a bit of cloth over the girl's ample breasts, and it's like sure. Play our awesome RPG, and it's a junkware game, and they're, you know, pandering to that aesthetic.
This
and,
doesn't feel like it's pandering to that.
They're not like, this is the furthest thing from it. Like,
yeah,
it's more prolapse than sexy, if you ask me.
Bo's got nothing but eyes for Chomp.
But like
what's Chomp? That's the real story.
Yeah, let's talk about Chomp.
I mean, let's take
how problematic he is.
Take away their powers, take away their you know, their fighting abilities and all of that. I think her and Lily are probably, they'd be in school together. Like, they're kind of the same, you know, and nobody ever talks this way about Lily. I know she's a panda. Okay, I get it. She's not exactly more human-like than the other girl, but I just don't get it. And then once people start talking about this, well, now it's just out there. You know what I mean? That's my biggest problem with it is I was going along going, oh, original character. That's cool. Ooh, she's really pissed at her dad. Her dad's kind of a dick. This is awesome. She's going to get revenge. She got a purple monster to help her get her dark deeds done. This is really cool. And then somebody goes, yeah, but she's kind of a pedophile looking anime girl. Well, now you've peed in the stew. Nobody wants the stew now. Don't pee in the stew. Go somewhere else and pee. Anyway,
you know, it's art. It's what was it that if the thing from Hamlet, you know, where you see yourself in the things that you watch, something along that. I can't remember the line.
It's in Hamlet. Oh, I love it when you do this, when you get all theater. Come on, do it. Give it to us.
I don't remember the line. I'll look it up. Maybe we'll share it later. But there's a play within a play, I believe, in Hamlet. And I think Hamlet's goal is because, you know, his father died and the ghost accuses his uncle. If I remember correctly, and I think one of Hamlet's ploys is to stage a show, hoping that the guilt of his uncle would reveal itself as he watches the play. I can't. It's been a little while, but
still,
but the idea that the idea is that
wrong. This will now be the second topic we're not allowed to discuss on the show: sports and Hamlet.
It's the idea that. You know, we reveal ourselves by the opinions we hold and the reactions we have to things, and we don't realize it.
No, I get it. It's like,
especially to art and in games. Games are a way to reveal yourself through play. And I mean, fiction and art is a way of playing when you're viewing it and you reveal yourself to be that way. That's why it's like, we're like, oh, sweet, a cool new character. It's a little girl. It's great.
Yeah.
And then someone's looks at her for 2 seconds and is like, oh my God, the pedophiles are going to go crazy. They're after them. And it's like, what's on your mind, buddy? You know, like it's not that you can't say it, but it's just the accusation, the projection that would even be out there. Just kind of like,
Tondergosa in the chat room says, kind of like what you guys just did with the emote a minute ago. That was more about me just being a douche and John.
I see dong everywhere. There's nothing wrong with that. I feel pretty normal about that.
Yeah. It was the first thing I noticed because it was what was on my mind at the time.
Yeah, John's dong is always on my mind.
So accurate. Remains true.
This is true. And people in the chat room are like, keep this going. This is getting popcorn. Ooh, this is a bad conversation. No. This is what people do. We discuss things. You guys are all like acting like this is pins and needles, thin ice.
Darksting 77 relax. Likes dong.
Yeah, dong looka.
Like, keep the dong talk.
It's a really
keep the
good
dong talk going.
That's a really good screen name. Dong.
Just kidding.
Luka.
Dong Luka
is a good name.
Dong Luka 22. I like it. That's a Dear Martha
kidding.
Name.
I'm just kidding. You're amazing. You're wonderful.
Oh, they're great. There's nothing wrong with these guys. Yeah, I'm just
teasing.
When people get all skeezy about conversations we're having, I just like to remind them it's a conversation, guys. We're not. That's the point of talking things through sometimes. And you know what happens to me a lot? I'll get on the other side and go, oh, you know what? You're kind of right about that thing that I disagreed with before because now I've heard you explain it. It's good. It's a good thing. People should do this more in life, not just clam up and go, oh, I don't want to go near that with a 20-foot pole. Eh, podcasts can be a nice pole. Just stick it in. Just whoosh. All right.
What do you think of when you hear that, John? Your face kind of told me.
Pole
and a hole is just a hole and a pole. Like it's there's nothing else to that.
You're right. It just really was there a reaction to the sound effect and look that way.
Yeah, it's my fault. All right, so check this out. You get loot chest drops. Back to the thing here. In addition to the guaranteed rewards listed below, they'll also be giving out tons of loot chests at random viewers tuning into the Heroes of the Storm streams. So they have dates for that. Here's what you got to do. Tune into any Heroes of the Storm stream anytime between 9 a.m. Pacific, November 13th, that's yesterday, 11:59 p.m. PST, December 4th. So sometime between that and that, that's your zone, that's your time frame. For a chance to win a common loot chest, there is no limit to how many times viewers can earn this reward through the duration of the program. These rewards will show up automatically in your Battle.net app gift inventory. So if your accounts are linked, all you need to do is watch. That's it. So, yeah,
although make sure that the stream drops are enabled.
Oh, is that a thing you gotta do?
At this thing, yeah, not all streams will have drops enabled, and that's up to the user to enable the drops.
Right.
So, just gotta make sure if you're a streamer, do that.
Have I done that? I think I have. I don't actually know.
We'll check it after the show. Yeah. I think you have to enable it for your viewers. So,
okay, so it's on me. It's on the streamer to do it, not the viewer. The viewer doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah. Next to you'll see on a stream where it says, I think what game is playing, it'll say in green, drops enabled. And that's how you know it's a drop-friendly stream.
Let me see here. I can tell you right now because I have it right up. I don't see drops enabled anywhere. I'll figure it out. No need to worry about it right now.
All right.
The important
thing you figure that out.
Yeah.
We can let you figure it out now. We'll move on to boosts.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about boosts. You're not talking about stim packs, are you, Bo? What's a boost?
No. Stim packs are yesterday's jam. Mm. Today's jam is boosts.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an IT Crowd reference for all you IT Crowd fans out there.
Sure.
Yeah, it's they've changed already. It was quick. It was like the week after BlizzCon. It's boom. It's already in here. And first of all, explaining boost once again, it works the same way that stim packs worked, but you get additional XP of 5% per player in your match who also has a boost, including players in the enemy team. So there's up to 9 other players. That means a maximum of an additional 45%. When you load up on the loading screen of a map, you'll see the boost next to their name. When you hit the tab, you'll see boost. You'll get a nice little animation for the people who support the game.
and
little boosts. I got into a match where I was the only one with a boost. And I was like, you filthy scrubs. I'm paying your way here.
Freeloaders. Freeloaders.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah. So... So that's the only, I think, issue that's come up as a conversation about this. It's got a cool new graphic. It's got cool new functionality. Everything's very nice. butt boost shaming may become a thing. And I've attempted a concoct a strategy to promote boosts when I get into my matches, like have a few things saved in Notepad and paste them in the chat. Like, this match brought to you by Boost. Get your boost on the collection manager today.
Brought to you by Bluehole. Yeah.
But it already does that. I think it sends you a little, I don't know what it says if you don't have a boost, but there's a message that pops up that tells me what I'm getting for my boost.
Well, at the end of the match, it lets me buy a boost if I didn't have one already. And then I think it applies to the XP I got for that game and extra gold, and it applies it post game. I did it yesterday. And so when I finished, it said, you don't have a boost. You want to do one? Little glowing thing next to results or whatever. I hit it. You go apply it. And then it tells you when you do it, this is what you'll get. You'll get 10 extra gold and whatever XP, 80,000 XP. And I don't know if that happens every time or if it only happens when you're close to leveling something, or I don't know. I couldn't figure that part out. But it absolutely does prompt you to do that. I can tell you that every quick match I played, which was, I've probably only played four, not games with you guys before the patch, but the four games I've played since the patch yesterday, every single one of them, somebody in there thanked someone else for a boost. So somebody said in the chat, hey, thanks whoever has the boost. Like, you couldn't tell who had it. Maybe they can tell, but he didn't know how to tell yet or something. It was, you know, first day after all. But they would say, hey, thanks for the boost, whoever's boost that is. Good luck and have fun. We got that a lot. Every game I played, all four of them. Somebody different said that in every game I played. So well, I guess that's good.
That's the positive side to it. Yeah. And I'm happy to hear that because Bo's not wrong. I got into matches where it's like the three of us have our boosts and there's the two other randos, and you already have your opinions on dirty randos in your group. And then they show up without a boost and you're like, guess you guys are welcome. You know, you kind of think it.
Yeah.
And you don't say it, but you think it. And so I would agree that I understood where the anxiety about boost shaming might come from. But I like this positive twist, the idea of thanking people who are providing boosts, maybe some positive reinforcement to tell somebody, oh man, I want to get thanked for something. They're certainly not going to thank me for my Nova play. I'll go buy a boost and earn accolades from other people.
Sure.
And it'll encourage them and it'll be great.
Do they stack? Do we know that? So like if three of us have boosts and two don't, do the three stack to give us all better bonuses? And if a fourth was there?
It's 5% per player.
Per player.
So
you get
15% if there's three. So sorry, maybe I missed this nuance of the boost. Do non-boosts get the percentage bonus from us?
Yes.
Yeah,
people?
They get something out of it. I don't know if it's a full 5%. I have no idea, but they do get
that's
something.
That's even worse.
Well,
you are sent this message of hope. Now Bo's mad.
Think of them as minions, and you're popping. What is it? Inspire, whatever it is that
Jim, I don't want to James inflate Rainer their does. Broke ass accounts.
But you get more than they do because you own it, right? So you're getting a boost beyond that, right?
I'm getting the benefit of the boost, but I guess I'm getting the 5% and they're getting the 5%. They're not getting anything I'm not getting,
right? But you're getting everything.
I'm supporting
that they are
my favorite
some.
game, and they're like, oh, I'm a free-to-play player. But granted, it's a free-to-play game, and that's the whole ethic behind, you know, it's the few support the many, I think, in all free-to-play enterprises, if I understand how it works.
Yeah, that is how it works. But also, the
I should just be mature about it, but I kind of think it's funny. Like, it's making me laugh.
You're the
whale, Bo. You need to stop thinking you're not the whale.
Yeah, you're the whale. Look, here's the deal, though.
We should all be whales.
Here's the deal. If you go in there and you're the only guy and all five of your teammates, I guess other four of your teammates, are all benefiting and they're not buying, but they're benefiting, the idea would be, oh, this is cool. I'm getting a little trickle-down boost here. If I bought boost, then that would not only help me more, but then I can help other people in the group. I mean, like, maybe it would spread the love. I mean, that's probably a very optimistic way of looking at it, but that's kind of how I saw these games I was in. People are just super thankful. And
what they should let you do is, at the end of the match, give the bonus to people you thought did well and not get the bonus.
Actually,
you get 5%. You fed. No 5%
for you. Oh, that's not bad, though.
That's probably worse. That's probably more Lord of the Flies than we need in this game. But
that is incredibly funny, but the idea of being able to gift, like, a boost to maybe somebody that you felt went above and beyond, like...
Oh, like a commendation kind of with XP right. benefit.
Right. That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, I don't hate that. It's like a commendation with an actual effect. That is more than just, you know, you have a nice score. You also have a little extra XP, which means you got extra possibly gold and a freaking, you know, a brand new drop or what do you call it? I can't even think of the name of the loot box.
Puts you closer to a loot box game for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad way to think of it. Or give it bonus goes out on votes. That's interesting. Lord Shaper says in the chat.
The problem with the MVP screen is it's only going to give you 5 of the 10 people on the match, and so the person you might want to give it to might not be on that match.
Right.
So I think it needs to be decoupled from that because...
Well, if you got the vote, though...
But in the post-match screen, maybe, or something like that, you know, you could just...
Right.
I bless this person with my commendation. Yeah. And then on their UI, they get a notification like, bling, you were great in the match. A player donated the 5% XP to you.
What if chat room has a good point? What about taking the boost away from someone who's a total douchebag, Carl? Because those guys are going
to
exist.
That just adds a way to troll. I think we need more ways to encourage good behavior and reward good behavior. And I think we need the current way to punish bad behavior to be better. Like, I think reporting needs to be a little more transparent that it's working. And I think we need to feel like it's doing what we want it to do. But I don't feel like it makes for a better atmosphere to come in and go, look at all the ways we can punish somebody or even potentially have someone grief somebody else by just being like, I'm going to deny their boost just because I hate that guy.
Yeah, I'd be worried about John denying my boost in our own team matches for playing something like Lost Vikings.
Right. Played Vikings, denied boost. It's just to me, you should think about lifting people up and, you know, on the other side of that spectrum, let's make sure the reporting system works really well.
Yeah. I like it. As an idea, I don't think they're going to go that far with it, but as it currently stands now, it's fine. It's not bugging me. Like, well, I currently also don't have a boost purchased, so
prepared to get boost shamed.
I'm one of those guys. I went to go buy one yesterday, like I said, at that one screen, because it was going to be worth it. I was going to level whoever was super close to leveling, plus I'd have some extra gold. And I went to go do it, and it said, hey, you don't have enough gems. I'm like, oh, well, what do I got to spend to get a little boost here? Oh, a minimum of $10? Like, eat my poop. I didn't want to do that. It bugged me, irritated me, so I got out of it. I think that it's still the same problem that I had with stims or other things where I wish I could just get them incrementally. If you said, just go pay the pure value of a boost and not this $10 increments, 10, 20, 50, you know, whatever it is, I'd feel better about it, just like I would feel better about all the purchases in the game if they didn't force me to get fake currency in $10 chunks. I hate that. So that's still a problem, and it's just laid on top of this as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you, Scott, but on the other side, stop letting all your friends down and buy a boost.
I'll probably buy one tonight. But I remember just being annoyed by it last night. I was just like, come on, man. What's this about? Plus, I was sick. I was really grouching. I wasn't.
I think it's also kind of rough to buy the boost on sale right now. So,
yeah.
Also, the 1 year boost is on sale for 6,000 in lieu of 9,000 gems. I have no idea how much that is. But when you're buying in big denominations, it's actually kind of difficult. It's way more difficult to buy that without overspending.
Right.
You have to buy you have to get creative with your gem purchasing and make multiple transactions rather than just saying, I want this, because it's either you overpay and have gems that, you know, I guess hang around until you need them, maybe, or you have to get creative and figure it out. And that's no fun. I actually completely agree with Scott. If you want to buy one thing, you should spend money on that one transaction, and that should be it.
Yeah. Even Nintendo's back. They used to do this at Nintendo. You had to buy it in chunks when you'd buy a game digitally or something. Like if I was buying a 3DS game over their eShop thing, it would say, oh, that's a $29 game. You need to buy a $50 credit, right? And then I just have this money sitting in their bank earning interest while I, you know, have to wait for the next thing I want to buy. And then all I have, then I still have to top off whatever I had left in the account. It sucks. I hate it.
Would you, because the gem system's proposed as a way to unify currency and to make, I don't know, probably stuff on their end a little easier when they're changing prices. They can just change it in their space money. Would it? So it seems like it would be a lot of maintenance to maintain several systems of purchase. Like it's also, I think, easier for them to just limit the purchase to gems. That way, whenever they're doing customer service, they can, the problems they have to sort out are less complex. The logistics are less complex. Would you pay a premium to pay a la carte directly? Like, let's say, you know, the gem equivalent was $10, but you had to buy gems and you only buy 1,500 gems. Or you just paid $12.99 for a direct cash purchase.
Yeah.
Would you pay the extra to just not have gems?
I mean, I probably would. I think honestly. I probably would too. I'd rather do that than just keep money sitting there that I can't spend until I add more money to it.
Because I think the ideal solution is allow us to, if you want us to buy gems, rather than here's your four options, find a way to make it work. Break it out to more variables to where it's easier to hit the numbers you want. But also they do that thing where the value of what you're buying never works out to an even number to what you've purchased gem wise. So you never end up with a zero balance, or if you do, you screenshot it and go to Reddit and go, holy crap, I'm at an even balance for gems. Look at this.
Yeah.
Because it's always some odd number. It's, you know, like, oh, I had to buy this amount and now it's this weird 450 that I have to buy this thing for.
What,
like,
would you be happier doing if you could spend your 47 gems on like 6 hours of boost, like whatever the
yeah
just let like, me throw it away and zero out that balance,
please. I kind of agree with that. I mean, if I wish they could just say, all right, a thing is 390 gems, just let me pay whatever the current equivalent rate is for 390 gems, not in lots of 1,000. Just say, if lots of 1,000 are $10, great. That's, I'll go buy that if I want to for whatever reasons I want to. But if all I need is 390 to buy a thing, what is the equivalent cost in dollars or whatever your denomination is of 390 gems? Let me buy those gems. And if that goes up and down, fine. If that fluctuates because of international trading and, you know, the reason they put it in place in the first place, fine. So I'll pay a little more than one time, a little less the next time, but I just want to buy those many gems. I don't want to buy them in lots.
I actually think the problem might, so here, this is stuff I don't know 100%, but like, let's say there's that 390 gems you want, Scott.
Yeah.
And so you buy 390 in gems and then you go and you're like, oh, it was 391. I forgot to buy one gem, and you make a transaction for like a gem.
Right.
Now you've made two transactions. Now, if I understand correctly, I think sellers pay credit card fees for transactions to the credit, back to the credit card folks,
right?
There, right, like, so that, you're it's really a loss for people who are buying like tiny amounts of gems. Like, I'm not sure, or maybe it's like 2% of the sale or something. Like, it has to be like a usability case business wise because it seems so simple. Just let me type in the number of gems and let me buy it,
right?
But
right,
like, they're dealing with tens of thousands of transactions per day. Like, how many, at what point is that losing money? Or, you know what I mean? Like, at the same time, I can kind of see it from the other side where it's like, this is a mess for us to deal with. But then your point is just go back to real money purchases.
Yeah, just go back to money. Tell me that a thing is $10 and I'll pay your $10. Tell me something's on sale for $3.99 and I'll pay $3.99. If that has to go up or down depending on market conditions, I mean, that's market. That's fine.
We have landed on one of the major reasons I hate mobile gaming. And maybe now is a better time than ever for Blizzard to take as many steps away from mobile gaming messaging as ever before.
Maybe now more than ever.
Yes.
I see where you're going there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's... I don't know. I mean, they obviously haven't released much in the way of their plans for game that will not be named today, but when they do, I hope they've thought a lot about that. If we end up with like five currencies, I'm gonna kill somebody. I have no interest in that.
You want to bet money right now that soul shards is a currency?
Oh gosh, dude,
no, it's not gonna work. I mean, they gotta be scarred for a real money auction house. They can't be doing weird stuff like that in Diablo.
It can't be too weird.
Even if you're like, they launched a mobile game, that's tone deaf. If that's your camp, and the way they announced it was tone deaf, it would be like they have raging deafness if they repeated what they did with Real Money Auction House that's tied to item purchases. It's just got to be content unlocks.
Yeah.
It can't be like buy gems and unlock skills. Like, if it's,
oh, it won't, like, be like that. There's no way they do that.
Like, you know, like a lot of other games do. Like, I was playing this dumb little game called Battle Jack. I don't even know why I was playing it. And it's like, you can evolve cards so that you make them more powerful. But, like, they're impossible to evolve. You have to spend money to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's predatory. That is game directly influencing. Like, Blizzard doesn't have a history of doing that. You can say what all you want about loot boxes, but they are very fair of keeping it cosmetic only.
Right.
Or to, like, wing unlocks and Hearthstone and stuff like that. Like, they've never done, you might say their pricing's egregious, but they've never done anything that's, you know, really bad, like we've seen other other mobile games do. So I have no reason to believe Diablo Immortal's gonna all of a sudden be a sea change for them. Like, that's,
I agree.
That's what do they call that?
Especially now.
Bell ringing or something. I just feel like that's, it can't, if it's that's,
you know, I'm calling it now. Gold, soul stones or soul shards, and donuts. Those are the three currencies.
Donuts? Sweet.
Yeah.
How would you like this complete set for your Johanna character? What would
really,
you pay?
Want to spend $100 on?
Yeah. You really want to spend 99. It's the best value.
I saw
best
an value. Article.
The best value.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Yeah. Someone stole $1 million to spend on Game of War.
Stole a million?
I didn't check it. It was a Kotaku article.
Is it really called Game of War?
Yeah, Game of War was like the number one app on mobile for like a few years. I think the one they had like a model advertising for it at one point.
I got to come up with a comic for this. I'm going to do some sort of like three column word jumbo that's like, choose this word, choose of, for, you know, like different what's the word, what's of called, it's a
conjunction,
pick a conjunction, and then your third word is, you know, something of something, and then the other one has to be like war, heroes, bit, like you could right. There could be some fun there.
Thrones, lands, kings, champions.
Yeah, it's for Warlords. real John, you'll help me make it because I can't think of any of these names. That's pretty good. Real quick, I want to just address Mosley Wow in the chat, who says, this is interesting and all, but nothing is going to change anytime soon. The first half of your sentence is why we're talking about it, because it's interesting and all. The other part we can't control. So we're talking about a thing. This might be the cold talking, but we're talking about a thing because it's interesting to talk about. That's kind of what the show does. So I just want to throw that out to Mosley Wow. Hope you're having a great night. Rock on, buddy.
He's a nice guy. We saw him last year at BlizzCon.
Yeah, he's a super nice guy. It's not a personal affront or anything. I'm just saying, yeah, that's what we do here. If they're not going to change it, there's nothing we can do about it. Still interesting to talk about. So there you go.
I just think it's mobile's known for this kind of stuff. It's not limited to mobile by any stretch. There are deals and predatory gaming practices on all platforms.
Oh, yeah.
So also the people raging about mobile, sort of conveniently when they're making that passionate argument, are ignoring the fact, like, because it's prevalent there, it's just the whole ecosystem is wrong. And the truth is that games haven't gone up in price since I was like a kid.
Yep.
Back in the day when my Super Nintendo Secret of Mana was still like, I think, $89 or $99 Canadian. I'm like, it's cheaper now to buy a way better game than, you know, that Secret of Mana that I was begging for months to buy it for me. And my parents are like, get a job, you little kid. $99. And it's like,
I love the idea. I love that it's an insult like, to call you a little kid. I think that's very funny.
I'm sure there's someone who knows better who has, you can explain market, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, chocolate bars are like, used to be like, you know, cheap, and now they're like $5. Starbucks coffee in Anaheim was $5, the small one, the short.
Like, the boat has gone full old man yelling at the cloud.
Yeah.
And it's like, games are not like, they should be $500 or something like that. And gamers are like, ooh.
Yeah, it's
you
a weird.
You want to make money? You guys, you know, it's like.
It's one of the weirder economic, like, there are economics classes up in the university here that my daughter goes to that have entire this is a huge discussion for them because it's an anomaly. Normally you have the normal inflation, you have regular rates of increase, you have all of that, but in games they haven't. And that's why they keep trying to do end arounds. It's like, well, what about a season pass? What about DLC? What about episodic? What about free to play with freemium this? What if it's cosmetic? What if it's more than cosmetic? Like, those are all attempts, some successful, some not, some predatory, some not, to circumvent the problem you're describing. And it is an anomaly in economics. It's weird. It's super weird. Like, movies cost you more to go see a movie now than it used to. Other forms of entertainment cost you more than they used to. Or at least it's sometimes in the aggregate, it seems cheaper, like get Netflix and you get all this content, but that's also a newer model and Netflix tends to go up over time. So video games are weird. They're weird and they're locked into people's brains as if this thing is more than $60, I'm out. And that's really hard to break. Like it's like nothing else in economics. It's really weird.
But I would also say on the flip side, not that this accounts for all of that, because what you said is definitely true, but also part of the reason why those N64 and Super NES games were $80 was because they were on a cartridge. Now so many of our games we get digitally and they're still the exact same price as the one that had to have all that plastic printed and microchips and discs eventually later than that. Now most of that stuff has gone away, but the price didn't go down.
Right,
so prices that's a case still where going down. Even with the less, like, I don't think you're right. It's cheaper to distribute games now, but I don't.
They've been able to eke out a little bit that way, right? Like, in a way, digital has served them because they were like, well, we're having a hard time getting prices up in any other way, so we'll artificially do it by, this is a lot less money for us not to have to manufacture a bunch of discs, cartridges, chips, or whatever, and just do it digital. Absolutely, that earns some of their profit back, but it still doesn't, it's not sustainable. Like at some point,
like a developer like id with their world-class games, usually have a new engine, like those things should be dropping, like the new Doom or whatever, it should be dropping for like $300.
Right,
they can't do it.
Right,
like they could easily rationalize that amount, but they can't do it because the game, you'll riot.
Right.
So you want free to play games, and then everyone's freaking out because they don't like the models and free to play games, and it's like, they got to get you somehow. Like, you know, it's like, and so there's a race to the bottom to get gamers' attention. And, you know, free is very enticing. And gaming is unique in that it can come up with creative ways. You can't come up with a creative way to make a movie free to play at your local theater.
No.
nobody pays and they spill Pepsi all over
you. Yeah, you don't get 20 minutes in and go, oh, if I could just see Tom Cruise smile. I was told that if I pay this little gem price in the middle of the movie, his smile shows up. I guess I'll go ahead and pay it. Like this. That's why it makes it, it's just wholly unique. Everything about the current state of game economics is so weird. It's fascinating to me, and I'm no expert at all, but
it's like we talk about the gems and Heroes of the Storm, we talk about all this stuff, and really it's just like a symptom of the industry that is gamers. We don't want to do anything we don't want to do. No one puts baby in the corner in terms of gamers. There's no more a client base that freaks out that I can tell than gamers.
Oh, like, not even close.
You know, maybe like your ISP customers come in first and then gamers are second, you know, because ISPs and phone companies are always trying to rip you off like all the time.
But maybe I think maybe even gaming's definitely crept up though. Like it's in a weird place that way.
I think people just respond better when they don't feel like they're being taken advantage of. Now, again, not all people. There's always going to be people that's just, their hard line is, I shouldn't have to pay for it. It should be free. But I think when you get to more people who are at least reasonable to some degree with their expectations, it's just, you know what? I just don't want to feel like I'm being taken advantage of. You know, I'm willing to spend the money as long as I feel like I'm getting some value for that money.
Right.
And I mean, one of the ways they're doing that now is you pay for the gold edition and you get to play the game like 4 days early. You know, that's a weird thing to me. But that's kind of a, you know, is it worth X number of dollars more to spend at your game to be able to play it today versus in 4 days? That's a real basic thing to make a lot of money off of.
Yeah.
I know the Hitman game Hitman 2 just did that.
Yeah, they did.
Where I was tempted and then I said, no, I'm playing Red Dead. I don't need this game early. And I skipped it.
Yeah, same as what was the other one? Oh, Assassin's Creed Origins did the same thing, and I or not Origins, Odyssey. I was like this close to doing it, this close.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I was so annoyed by that, and then I was like, "What am I doing?" But I don't mind that. That's like a like I can't fault the industry for trying to find ways to do this. I just wish Heroes wasn't just down the gem route. I wish there was another way for them. And I don't know what it is, but I wish there was. I mean, it's the way it works. And if
you're getting a bad deal,
it's the way it works. And I mean, Overwatch isn't a perfect example because you're just paying for loot boxes there. And you do have that currency you earn over time that you can buy skins outright with that you grind over time. But the only real money exchange you're doing is I would like to buy 30 loot boxes. That's $49.99. Here's your money. Go. It's just real money. I kind of wish it was that again. Maybe there's just too many things to buy in this game. I don't know. It's complicated, obviously.
Well, I think part of it is, and I don't know how much they pulled back on it, but they wanted to give out gem rewards. They're effectively giving you money to spend in the store every 25 levels
right.
in the game. And so they probably can't give you gems or money, cash, but they can give you your gems as part of a reward program. And I feel like there was some thought, and we may even see this in the future, that, you know, if we ever got tournaments or some kind of thing that, you know, we can make prize pools with gems.
Yeah.
Like the system that I made and proposed to the heroes.
Did you?
I sent to them. You know, like the point of having the gems is to have to be rewarded with currency that, yes, you can only spend on heroes, but maybe just like World of Warcraft, you can cash that gold in for Blizzard bucks. For BattleNet balance, maybe, you know, you can earn rewards, cash in for BattleNet balance, and buy the latest Warcraft expansion with your heroes earnings. I still think they should get on top of this. That just might be they have a limited amount of stuff to develop and we're not there yet. But
yeah,
that's why they want, I think that's the big sell for the gem system is like, yeah, it's inconvenient for us when we want to spend a specific amount. But the flip side is we might actually earn some gems. And we can, but hopefully we need to earn them faster. 25 levels takes a while, but
Chatroom's got a great idea. I put the kind of ads they want in the game. They want the announcer to say, "Jaina is headed down the Geico middle lane. Geico, when you need to uninsure your core, choose Geico." Like the idea that they could put some of that stuff in there is pretty funny.
They
can't do it because why is it acceptable on TV? Well, first of all, we're conditioned for it. But second of all, like today, you can have Hulu with a commercial version. You can have Hulu and pay a little bit more and never have commercials. Well, I, of course, do the one without commercials because I prefer it. But that's an easy choice because you're like, okay, I can passively watch a thing. Oh, there's an ad. I can ignore it, do something else, and then come back and passively watch a thing. Video games aren't asking you to passively do anything. They're asking you to actively do everything. And if you start doing things that take them out of that experience or change their focus or jack up what they're supposed to do, you can't do it, dude. Or you people who have tried have failed miserably.
So funny story. I've often on the show saying, oh, I love the game PlanetSide. PlanetSide literally did this. They actually put screens on the bases and had ads running in the game at one point.
That's awesome.
There was a revolt.
Oh, I'll bet there was.
You, that says the player base was dwindling, but in your MMO, RPG, FPS, whatever, having ads. Imagine having an ad on Storm on the ramparts of Stormwind as you're flying in on your map. That's literally what they did in that game. I don't know how many examples of there are in the MMO space of actual in-world ads, but it did not go well.
I'll tell you where it works. It works in driving games. I have no problem with billboards rotating and being different static billboard ads. No problem. That's cool.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys, because that's a thing that comes up pretty frequently is, when it makes sense in the world, does it bug me if somebody went out and made a deal and all the vending machines are branded Coca-Cola vending machines in a game? That doesn't bug me because I'd rather see something that's authentic to the world than something that's like, here's our Boca-Cola that's a very similar logo and kind of free advertising anyway, but we made up a dumb pun.
Right.
Like, and it's the same way in movies when people are like, oh, look at that. They're making their marketing dollars because they really focused in on that logo. It's like, yeah, these are the products that are in our world. It doesn't really bug me that much. But in PlanetSide, it does, because this is supposedly in the future on a different planet. And you're like, Energizer battery is going to be real big and real important. for your spaceships. Well, you're gonna need them.
Here's I totally agree that there's a huge disconnect there, but in a game like Fallout, you want them to have Nuka-Cola. I don't want them to replace it with Coke, right? Because that's true. Part of the fabric of that game so much. So even this is complicated. Like, it's just complicated. I don't know what games look like 20 years from now, but I'm dying to know, because I think we're heading into weird town. I really do. And I don't know, man. 20 years is a lot of time in video games. We're gonna see some real weird shifts.
20 years, the game companies are gonna pay you to play their games.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? It could all flip on its
head. Only the pros that get paid right now, but pretty soon everyone's gonna get in on the money train.
I mean, if I could go back in time, there's a lot of things I'd do, but if I was given one extra trip back in time, so it didn't go against my total numbers of times I could go back in time, I would go back to 2008, right around the time that Oblivion launched on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and PC, and I would have waited around a little bit for the news cycle to talk about the horse stupid armor. Horse armor, horse armor for $3, and the complete meltdown the entire video game world seemed to have over that, the player base had over that. And I just want to get on a microphone and go, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. And then poof. And then I just disappear and go back to the future and wait for them all to catch up. Because what a difference 10 years can make, man.
I bought horse armor. Made my horse look cool.
Yeah, it did. I did too. I liked it. And I thought $3 was pretty cheap.
Was it $3? I was about to say $5.
I thought it was $2.99, I thought.
Maybe. It's so funny because you say that now and I'm like, it couldn't have been that. People were upset.
Yeah.
But I think people would have been upset about that back then.
Yeah.
Nowadays, horse armor for $2.99, people be like, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, it's funny. I just think that if we think that's a weird transition in 10 years, just imagine what it's going to be in the next 10. It's going to be crazy.
I wonder, I always think about when that day is going to be, if it's going to be VR where someone's going to make a best in class, because it's like they're undercutting each other, right? Like, ultimately, game companies, someone offers a game for $20, the next guy offers it for $19, Steam offers them for $18. Like, they're all undercutting each other.
Right.
And at what point does that AAA industry say, like, we're going to standardize pricing for games? And, you know, I guess it's a cartel. You can't do that, but it's, you know, at some point, that's got to be, where's our video game commission?
Yeah.
It sets prices and fair wages for developers and also allows gaming companies to actually just charge appropriate things for their games.
Socialism.
And not just race to undercut everyone. Oh, my game's free to play. My game's even more free to play. Why? You know, it's like, it's not healthy, I think, for gaming.
Government subsidized video games. You get your monthly box of allotted video games.
I'm a Canadian. The government delivers marijuana to people here now.
I know. Like that, I know.
They're the drug dealers in this country now, and that's how it works.
Yeah.
Social programs.
Sure. Why not?
That's my culture. Sorry, Americans.
It's totally fine. All right. There's more to say. That's a good discussion, though. I think we did well there. A couple of changes, by the way, coming that weren't Orphea related. For example, Alex Straza's Lifebinder, that is one of her ultimates, and Rhaegar's Ancestral Healing, one of the great ultimates of all time. Both these abilities are no longer cancelable under any conditions other than enemy abilities that remove the target from play. That could be Devouring Maw, that could be Cocoon, that could be Gorge. But outside of those cases, if you are casting that thing, and Muradin comes up and throws his Stormbolt thing at you, his hammer at you, you will not be stunned out of your thing or interrupted once you've started it. So you're good to go. My question is, why not Lili's 1,000 Cups? Why not somebody else, some of these other ones? Like, it feels like this should be a universal across all healer characters, not just these two.
Well, yeah, but that's, I don't know if it's considered channeled, but it's a different situation. Like, these ones are basically, it's like they have a wind up before they take effect, you know, like Ancestral goes bloom, like there's a, and so you'd stun during the,
I don't remember that part, the sucking part, but
well,
yeah.
the wind up, the
Bo hears it differently than we do.
I love it.
And anyway, the idea being that, like, there's this period of time where there's counterplay to it, and really, if you don't get that ancestral off when you need to, that it's like, you know, you're boned out of your ultimate, basically. Yeah. So it kind of feels bad. Lili, I think it's mechanically built in that she's got to tactically stay in a space to heal people, but stay away from being stunned. Like,
right.
So I feel like that gives Lili counterplay that we need. I don't want cups that can't be canceled.
Also, didn't they make a change not too long ago where the amount of time the cooldown is on or whatever is based on when it would get interrupted? I feel like there was something Lili? They did with, because can't she run it for a little bit and turn it off?
I feel like that
same rule applies to stuns if she gets stunned.
No, that is actually true. They gave her a short, much, I don't know if it's just a cooldown thing, but they gave her a shorter cooldown if you get interrupted. And I'm sure that's the same if I cancel it mid-go.
But this still happens on stuff.
Because that ult is really crummy sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens on Mal'Ganis. It happens to Moshpit still, too. You could be dun-dun-dun-bing, and you know, it's during that, and then you get a 10-second cooldown. It's not like you can use it right away. It feels bad. Right. But yeah, on Mal'Ganis, it feels worse, definitely.
Well, yeah. Everything feels a little worse with Mal'Ganis. He's great, though. And like, I think he's a freaking hoot. He seems to be the most hyperactive jerk in the game right now. Just like this freaking guy just up in your face.
Sleep now.
Just an a-hole. I like him, though, a lot. Dragonshire got a change. Dragonshire has received updated battleground art, including an updated Dragon Knight. New look at some of the Realm Lords under new announcers, Orphea, Ka, Nethys.
Yeah, so if you want to see what they look like,
yeah,
go to the announcers and you can get a look at what your comics in the future might look like.
Sure. Yeah. I want to see this Dragon Knight. I haven't been on Dragon Knight in a while, actually. Is that thing in rotation right now? I don't even think it is. Is it?
Yeah, it is. I've played on it, but I don't think I noticed the new art.
Oh.
But it was just yesterday, so maybe I didn't get Dragonshire yesterday.
I finally had a public game with my first Orphea game being home when it came out yesterday. I played on Hanamura, finally. Finally.
Oh, hey, you finally saw it.
I don't know why I never get this thing in rotation. Yeah. It just never happens. And it's still only the one time. So it happened at the LAN game at BlizzCon, and then one time since. And those are the only two times I've seen it since the rework. So that, I don't know what that means. And then the other one was, what's the other one I haven't seen? Oh, the reworked garden I saw at BlizzCon on the LAN game, but nothing since or before. So still waiting for that one to pop.
Yeah.
Tonight, maybe. Tonight, maybe it will.
Maybe.
Here's my prediction. Tonight will be all about those two Diablo levels because they always pop up, and then we'll get like Nuke Town, whatever it's called, a Nuke Desert.
Nuki Town.
What's it called?
The famous Call of Duty map, Nuki Town.
Missile Town, Missile Country. What is
Warhead it? Warhead Junction.
Warhead Junction. That's the one. We're probably get
Missile Country is a good name.
No missile for old country.
No missile for old country. But that's probably what'll happen. But tonight we'll test it. We'll see if we can get one of these new maps. That would be not new maps, but maps I never see.
I've gotten Blackheart's Bay 3 times since the patch.
Oh, I haven't seen Blackheart's
Bay. And I have not played ages. That many games. So, yeah. Conspiracy theories abound.
Stuff like that happens, man. I don't get it. What else we got here? That's pretty much it. Hey, don't forget this weekend, there is a brand new There Will Be Dungeons happening at 3 p.m. Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. It is our D&D campaign set in a arid wasteland. Mad Max style, and we've been doing it now for 37 3-hour or so sessions. And if you think that sounds like a lot of content, it kind of is, but it's worth it if you haven't caught up. But even if you're just jumping right in, you'll have a good time. Bo's our DM, me and John and Kristen and Kyle are all there, and we're all having a blast. So if you have any interest in that at all, check out therewillbedungeons.com for all the pertinent details. And now something a little special for everyone. All right, I'm going to play a thing, and I got to make sure my file's queued up. Hold on a second. There we go. Okay, this is an email we got from a listener. This came to us from, do I have a name? Well, the name is Solo1513. However, he wrote the entire email, he or she wrote the entire email in Dear Martha structure. And so I thought it'd be fun if John read today's email as it was presented here as a Dear Martha letter. John, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I haven't really read through it. I just kind of saw what it was, so I may stumble through this, but we'll see how it goes.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Here goes in 3, 2, 1.
My dearest Martha, life has grown hard with the change of season.
The commandants have decided to put the privates in charge of discipline assignments across the entire front. Time was an officer could post a demerit up the chain every day for a week, and never would the rapscallion in question see a day of spud peeling, much less latrine duty. But this past month, a near dozen sergeant majors in the division, and yes, Martha, myself included, endured 2 whole weeks of detail. They said my behavior was unbecoming of an officer, but as you well know, I keep my own counsel. I never even used the newfangled correspondences, but on high isn't down here, so seems to them I could well have said any of those things. Doesn't someone read the... I'm in good standing. 1300 levels. Own all but 19 tombs. Martha, I know I have tried to prepare you against my not returning home to you, but now my very commission is in peril, and the pension due a soldier's patient family for his years of service, well, I'm at a loss to counsel you should these mad greenhorns have their way, and I am put against that wall like a reprobate. Tell the children, just tell them Daddy did what he could. Yours earnestly, Solo 1513.
So good to have you do it instead of me. Just read it. I'm not 100% sure. I've figured out what he's talking about, except it sounds like he got like
I don't
silenced.
Know what I just said.
I think he got silenced or something because something he said or whatever, and he's complaining he's got 1,300 levels, owns but all but 19 tunes, which actually doesn't seem like it seems like he should own more than that at 1,300 levels, but whatever. But I think that's what he's saying is he got in trouble and silenced by Blizzard for a few games or something for being a jerk in a game or something.
Yeah, it seems like he sends here, time was an officer could post a demerit up the chain every day for a week.
Yeah.
And never would the rapscallion in question see a day of spud peeling, much less the trine duty.
Yeah. This guy went really far.
It was
hard.
Really well written, but yeah, by the time I got to the end, I was like, I hope I didn't just activate someone Manchurian Candidate style or something.
What does a post a demerit mean?
I don't know. I don't
is
know how that
like
works.
Telling somebody to uninstall.
I mean, I think that's what it would equate to. Like,
yeah, right. A posted demerit because there isn't any actual demerits in the game unless Blizzard.
Like you write an actual letter to someone else in your army to be like. You suck at army.
Oh, maybe it's reporting. Like, if somebody reported you every day for a week, nobody would see any sort of penalty for it. But this past month, near a dozen sergeant majors in the division, and themselves included, endured 2 whole weeks of detail. So they got, like, a two-week
timeout.
Something.
They probably got silenced.
Their behavior was bad.
Yeah, they probably got silenced. Blizzard, with enough reports or they think it's a legit report, they'll silence you, literally mute you from talking to anybody.
Here's what I will say to you, Solo 1513, at the end of my Dear Martha letter.
Yeah.
I don't condone being toxic or mean to people in the game, and odds are if a punishment came through, you were probably maybe doing something you shouldn't have been doing, but in my eyes... The work and effort you put into this letter makes up for it. I hope you get back soon.
Voted this for some reason.
I don't know. That's my the emojis I use in the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know. Also, I did it to make John lose his concentration.
Oh. I was looking over there. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I was like, oh, don't look at Bo. Don't look at Bo. Don't look at Bo.
That was fantastic. Well, if you liked that and more of the dumb content we create here on the show, I got such good news for you. There's a way for you to support it. Over at patreon.com/coreshow. And if you want to be just like our emailer there, you can send your own stuff in to core@heroesforyou.com. Heroesforyou.com is our website. You'll find everything else you need there, including the stuff I just mentioned. So it's all in one place. Super easy to get to. Heroesforyou.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. CoreHeroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. And a reminder that we will be playing some games after this, checking Orphea out and doing our stuff. So hang around if you want to watch that. We'd really appreciate it as well. Thank you all for listening. That's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. See you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.